someone else is because they're going to hear me. We are in 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. Before we get started into the message, I just want to open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for a group of people that take living for you serious. They want to study your word. They want to hear your word. They desire to know you better. And I just want to ask a special blessing on the ones who love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know some people can't be here for whatever reasons, but Lord, you've told us that there's a remnant that you are going to take care of. And Lord, I just want to tell you that there's some people that they love you, and that they desire to hear from your word, that they want to receive knowledge from you, not just of head knowledge, but they want some heart knowledge, and they want to learn how to be better witnesses, and they want to take opportunities throughout their days and their weeks to be able to present you to others. Lord, would you grow those people? Would you help them to know you better than they ever have? Would you talk to them and let them know that you care about them? And I just want to lift these up tonight to you, that you'll just honor their desire to seek your face and to serve you with all their being. God is Lord in these things. Give us a blessing from your scripture tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we get this story that we see in 1 Kings chapter 18, I like it. Now, there is an obscure character in here. His name is Obadiah. Not many people will remember this guy's name. But for years, when I read this story, you know, I was military, and I looked at Obadiah, and I'm like, there is a military guy doing everything he can to serve the Lord, and there's no other believers around that he is serving with. He's alone. And I'm thankful for stories. That was a big encouragement to me during a rough time of my military career. When I'm looking around, I'm like, God, where's the Christians at? I feel like I'm alone in this fight. And I'm sure Obadiah did too. But God put him here for a special purpose. And I like that. I like that about God, that even though it seems like there's no hope, God has got some people planted. He's got some people in special situations, and he's taking care of them. And they're doing what God wants, and it looks like they're serving the worst. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel, I'm telling you, you can't find hardly any worse characters than Jezebel and Ahab, and we've got a man of God working for those guys right under them. The scripture tells us that he was the governor of Ahab's house. He was a second in command. He was like the prime minister. Like the president is really what he really was. Now Ahab is the king. Kings did their thing, but Obadiah is there, and God's taking care of him. Now we get to this story, and Elijah, he's been up there with that widow woman for about 3 years or so now, and it says in the third year, the word of the Lord came back to Elijah and said, go talk to Ahab. I'm ready to send rain. It's time we have a heart-to-heart with Ahab. They've gone through 3 years of famine. It's so dry. I mean, there's not even scrub grass left. There's nothing. And Ahab, as he talks to Obadiah, and he says, all right, you go that way, I'm going to go this way. We've got to go find some grass, or we're going to lose all the animals. There's just nothing left. This place is parched. So they take off. Well, Obadiah is going down this road, and he meets somebody. He meets Elijah, and he just can't believe it. He's like, are you Elijah? The king has been looking all over the place for you. We've looked in different other nations. We've had a search party looking for you, and you're nowhere. And all of a sudden, you're here. and he just can't believe it. And Elijah tells Obadiah, I want you to go tell Ahab I'm back and I need to talk to him. Obadiah's like, are you trying to get me killed, Elijah? They've been looking for you so hard. If I go and I tell Ahab that you're back and he doesn't see you, he's going to kill me. Elijah, don't you know I'm a man of God? Let me tell you what I've been doing since you've been hiding. I've been looking for the prophets, because Jezebel wanted to kill all of God's prophets. And she was on the witch hunt looking for them. Anybody that named the name of the Lord, she was killing them. And he says, I took 100 of them and I hid them in the caves by 50s, and I gave them bread and water and gave them and helped them stay alive. And you want to send me to Ahab to get me killed? Like, I'm on your side, Elijah. Don't get me killed today. And Elijah says, go and tell him. I'm going to talk to him this afternoon. I will see him today. So the story goes on, and Obadiah goes and tells Ahab, hey, Elijah's back. He wants to talk to you. Go meet him. So Ahab turns around, and he goes to look for Elijah. And we get to verse 16. It says, and Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him that Ahab went to meet Elijah. And we're going to stop there with the story tonight, because I want to point out some things that I feel are very important for our day and time. And the concept that I want you to get a hold of is that God can hide his people even amongst the enemy. He really can. I want to show you three ways in this story that God has hidden his people. Sometimes he hides them in plain sight, like Obadiah. I want you to think about it. If Jezebel had known that Obadiah had hidden 100 of God's prophets in the caves and was taking care of them and making sure that they stayed alive, what do you think she would have done? She would have went off. There's a name that comes to my mind, and I'm going to refrain from saying it, because I think that person represents a good Jezebel. Because anything that got in the way, they want to take out. And Jezebel wanted to take out all of God's people. And especially if somebody in her house, I mean, you think about it. Obadiah is using Ahab's money to take care of God's people. An evil, wicked government God is using to sustain his people. Right under their noses, they couldn't see it. God hid them in plain sight. And he does it for a reason. I think that's an amazing count of this story. Because look at verse 3. This is what was going on with Obadiah. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And this is what it says about Obadiah. And man, wouldn't this be a good, if your name was written down in God's word, this I can't think of a better phrase for it to describe you as. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Proverbs would tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He was a wise man. And God was using him mightily to sustain God's people. I hope that if something comes, you know, if we get a crazy, tyrannical government coming through that wants to take out all the Christians, I don't know if I'm going to be upset if there's somebody that's in the ranks there that gives me a warning call, says they're coming. They're going to be, if it's next Sunday that they call me and say, Mitch, you need to make sure that your people are not at the church Sunday morning, because somebody's going to come in and they're going to take them all away and you're never going to see them again. I hope that God would give us that kind of a warning. He doesn't always, but that's kind of what Obadiah was doing here. God was using him to protect God's people. Only 100 of them, but those 100, we will see them come back up, because God takes care of his people. Now, that doesn't mean that their lives are great. I mean, they're living in a cave. They're eating bread and water, but they have their life. I know American-wise, we're like, my life is, I know I'd rather be dead than do that. Well, you know, God might let you do that. If you can't handle it, he might say, well, I guess you're going to be one of the sacrificial lambs there. But if you're one willing to go through some hard stuff, we're going to see as we get to the end that God can use people who aren't afraid to overcome obstacles that are in their way, even like these guys. And God can do it in plain sight. Look at Psalms chapter 27 and verse 5 with me. Psalms 27 and verse 5. The scripture here speaks and it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." There's a verse that just kind of hides it up, just kind of illustrates that he'll, in the time of trouble, he can hide me in his pavilion, something in plain sight that everybody sees every day. "In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and set me up on a rock." I'm out here, I'm working for God, and I'm in plain sight. And somehow God makes that person invisible to the eyes of the enemy. Makes them untouchable. Let me tell you, we need some people like that in places like Obadiah was. We need some guys like that who are working up on Capitol Hill, working for God. Now that's a tough place to live for God. We need some guys like that in the military who aren't afraid. We need some guys like that working in our companies. We really need people like that in our churches, I think, who aren't afraid to do what's right, no matter the cost. Obadiah knew, my life is on the line because I'm going to protect God's people. And he was more concerned about them than he was for himself. Now, that doesn't mean that he just makes himself a willing target, but that does mean that if Ahab had found out, Obadiah, he understood what the repercussions of that was going to be. But what I see is I see God blessing a man and using the blessings on him to freely give to other people. You know, that's what God wants from us. He wants us, that what he's freely given to us, to freely give to others. And when we're doing that, it's like he just keeps piling it on us so that we can bless others. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be blessings to others. Another way that from what I see in this passage, is that sometimes people are hidden by God, like Elijah was. Elijah was hidden. Look at verse 4. Obadiah recognizes this, and he says, For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took the 100 prophets. So Obadiah takes these hundred guys, and he sticks them in a cave, that these guys are hidden from the enemy. He puts 50 in one cave and 50 in another. That area has a lot of caves around. So Obadiah puts them in there and sustains them with food and water. And he hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So God can use us to hide others too, just like he did Obadiah. Look at Psalms chapter 68 and verse 20. Psalm 68 and verse 20. Scripture says, "He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death." So what we have here is we have got the issues that are threatening these 100 guys. God says, I'm sending deliverance to them. That deliverance came from a man that feared the Lord greatly. You know, during the Holocaust, we hear a lot of stories of men and women who stuck their necks out, that they did what they could to protect those because they knew that a rogue government was coming was coming in and just taking people and destroying them. Just robbing them and destroying their lives. Who wanted to eradicate a race of people. And they knew it was wrong, these were heroes. Now, we don't hear about these guys as much as what we should, but they were heroes of the faith who stepped out because they feared God. You know, when we know to do right and we don't do it, that's a sin. And we live in a nation that has really lost that concept. And Christians need to understand, if you know to do right and you do it not, that's a sin. And God's going to hold you accountable to that. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I don't want that to be me. I want to make sure that when God shows me that there's a problem, to do right. You know, He put me in a position like that too when I was recruiting. Because there was a lot of people telling me, this is how, if you want to make it, this is how you do it. And it involved lying a lot. And I'm like, I can't do it. I mean, it violated my integrity to do that. And I'm like, I just can't do it like that. And God tested me with that. And it was a tough time, but you know, He showed me a whole lot about myself during that. You know, whenever you're going through a hard time, the test that God wants you to learn is not really what He knows about you, but what He wants you to know about yourself. How prone are you going to be to give in when things get a little tough? You know, some things like that really show you what's inside of you. And I don't want bad stuff to come out. You know, you see the strongest, what appears to be the strongest people turn into the biggest weaklings whenever a little bit of pressure is applied to them. And then you see those who look the weakest, that the strength comes out during those times. You know, many of you, you've probably experienced that. If you've lost somebody in your family, that you've seen that happen with yourself, and God showed you something about your own character during that process. But there may be a time that things really go rogue, that God can use you to sustain other people's lives. And we need to be ready. We need to understand that sometimes God uses people like that, especially whenever things like this happen. And you're like, Brother Mitch, we'll never see something like that in our lifetime. I reminded you of the Holocaust. Was anybody around during 1948? A couple of you? Hey, that happened in your lifetime. It's likely that could happen again. You think that, oh, it can't happen in the United States. I'm telling you, it can. We are set up to be just like what they were back then. And we need to make sure that our heart fears the Lord greatly so that God can use us during that time. I want to give you the last example of this. Well, at least out of this passage anyway, that some were hidden in another place. Elijah was hidden in another place. God had sent Elijah to another country. Look at verse 10. It says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. When they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. So Ahab went to all these other kingdoms, and they're like, there's no Elijah here. We haven't seen him here. That God had hid him in amongst other nations, in another place. They didn't know he was there. This widow, she was being blessed. No one ever tried to like, well, how is that widow that has no money, how is she being able to make it? Elijah was there. And they just couldn't see it. And God hid Elijah in another nation. Sometimes that happens. You're like, well, Brother Mitch, God never says that we're supposed to leave where we live to go somewhere else. I'm telling you, He does sometimes. I kind of think He might have done that in my life and some other people that I know of. Look with me in Micah 2 and verse 10. No, Mike is kind of a difficult book to find. I'm struggling with it myself right now. I know what's in here. Page 1000. Oh. 2 and verse 10. In mine, it says 856. It says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." In Micah, here, if you read the whole context, God looks on His people, and He wants to protect them. And before destruction, God sees it coming. And He tells His people, He warns them. He says, when you see it, leave. If you stay, you're going to be destroyed. It's time for you to go. It reminds me of a story I heard about a guy. The weather guy was telling him, it's going to flood. You need to evacuate. And the guy's like, no, God's going to take care of me. And he missed the warning. And then the floodwater's coming in, and he climbs to the top of his house, and a boat comes by, and they try to get him to get in, and he's like, no, God's going to take care of me. And then the floodwater's getting higher. It's up on his roof. It's just a few feet from his feet. And a helicopter comes by and says, hey, grab the ladder. Come on up. And he's like, no, God's going to take care of me. Well, eventually the floodwaters come in, and he drowns. And he gets to heaven, and he asks God, why didn't you take care of me? He's like, I sent you 3 different people to help you out. You were unhelpable. Well, God, He tells us in His Scripture, He says, I don't do anything without first telling my prophets. I don't know how He does it. He puts it on the hearts of men like Obadiah who hear the warnings and they understand it. I know we don't like to call them prophets now, but God talks to people and He can give them some special guidance, and it looks like they have some special knowledge. And I believe that God still talks to people like that. And he forewarns us. We hear it all over the world. The economy is going to collapse. And we're like, well, you know, it hadn't yet. I'm telling you, our prophets have said it. Everything, and you don't have to be a good prophet to be able to see when you're over $20 trillion in debt. Yeah, that's unsustainable. I don't even understand that number. It's so uncomprehendable that the government's like, oh, well, you know, we'll just deal with that. When it does happen, it's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back. It's going to happen. It doesn't take a great prophet to be able to read God's Scripture and be able to retranslate the warning that has been given to His prophets before. It doesn't take that much. And God says, you start seeing these things. We just studied Luke chapter 21 on Wednesday night, that God gave some examples of some things that, look for these things. When you see these things happen, and when you start seeing them all happen at once with greater intensity, like birth pangs, know that it's getting close. It's getting close, guys. The warning is happening. And if we see that kind of issue coming into our city, don't think that you're a coward if you leave. Just like Micah, he wrote here, saying that, hey, when this stuff is happening, arise and depart. This is not your rest. Don't get so stuck on Jonesboro. I can never leave Jonesboro because of whatever. You know, I've got a really good friend. Well, I say he was a really good friend. I knew him when I was growing up. I was a kid. He was about 10 or 15 years older than me. But he saw something in southern Arkansas that was very displeasing to him. He saw the school system just starting to collapse underneath it. The people in charge, they were failing the students. He saw drugs becoming more rampant. All of his families from there, his wife's families from there. And I believe God talked to him and said, get your family out of that area or they're going to be destroyed. I can remember my brother-in-law talking to me about it, saying I need to leave. But he stayed. and I've seen what's happened to his kids. They're struggling. Yet that other person who heeded God's warning. I see a great family. They're serving the Lord. Their kids are raised in church. One of them just got married. A young man of God. Not just somebody that you see sitting in the pew. Now, this kid was involved in church. He was becoming a pillar as a teenager. Because one man heeded the warning. And he said, I'm listening to Micah. I'm hearing God's voice. This is not my home. This is not my rest. It's polluted. I can't do anything about it. Is it okay to leave? Yes, it is. You ever wonder why when the angels came to the cities of Sodom, that Abraham's like, well, is there 10? Maybe there's at least 10 there. And when they got there, they couldn't even find 10 people. Because the godly people left. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. If Jonesboro starts turning into this place where there's bars on every corner, they're practicing an alternative lifestyle, if the school system is teaching that to my kids, and everywhere I look, it's corrupt and it's polluted, I'll leave. I'm not going to wait for somebody to kill me to tell me that they don't like me. I know that they don't like me. They've already told me that they didn't like me. They told Lot. He knew it. And the godly people that would have been there, when they saw that, they're like, we're out of here. I don't care how much money you can give me. It's not worth losing my family. Lot lost his family. And I know people just like Lot, because they didn't heed God's warning. He was trying to hide them from the pollution, and they wouldn't listen. You know, we see that same thing in the book of Revelation. That God continues His warning to people, and they reject the warning over and over and over again. They will not listen. Look in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 and verse 4 says, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. Can you hear God begging stuff like that? Come out of her, please. Leave that area. It's going to destroy your family. Come out of her, my people. Don't partake of her sins. And what's coming is her plagues. I don't want you to participate in her sins, and I don't want you to have to deal with the plagues that are coming your way. Come out of her, my people. I believe when you see things like that happening, God, if you're a man or woman of God, I think God tells you, beware. It doesn't take much. All you have to do is read a little bit and pray a little bit. God's going to tell you, hey, what's going on may not be best for your family. And don't be afraid to listen to that advice. And here's one, and this is one God would hide people. You know, sometimes we think, well, we just want to get out of tribulation. That's really not what it's about. It's not about getting out of persecution. It's not about getting out of a tribulation time period. But what it's about is what God wants to do with you after that event. Because evil has its time, and it will run its course. And on the other side of that, there's going to be something. There's going to be somebody. The one who can pick up that mess, who can clean it up. And that's God's men and His women. Those who fear the Lord like Obadiah did. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Obadiah, but I do know that shortly after this event, Ahab dies and Jezebel dies. and we see God's people come back on the scenes. They're let out of the caves, and they're out living amongst the people again. That's what's going to happen. Obadiah was there to pick up some of those pieces that was dropped by this wicked king. And he had some advice from Elijah and Elisha. You know, that's coming up. We don't see the scriptures that talk about it, but I absolutely know that's what's going on, because you could see it. You could see it in between the lines of there was somebody there who held some things together for God's people. And that's those who fear the Lord greatly. Now, Obadiah is not the only person. So why would God hide a person? Because he's got something greater planned for him. He's got something even better planned. Yeah, the tribulation that they go through, that's only for a moment. But he's got something else in store. I want you to think just for a moment about Joseph. Not the Joseph of Mary and Joseph, but Joseph who was the son of Jacob. What happened to him? God hid him in Egypt. Joseph couldn't find him. Or Jacob couldn't find him. The brothers had lost him. They don't know where he's at. God had planted him right where he needed to be when life was looking its worst for God's people. And Joseph will tell them after his father dies, he said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He meant to plant me over here, to hide me from you guys, to grow me in a way that I couldn't have grown underneath my father's arm. But instead, I grew up under God's wing. Yes, some of it was some rough stuff, but God took care of me." Another person is Moses. God hid Moses in the desert for 40 years. You would think, man, 40 years old, you should be grown up. Well, Moses was 40 years old when God started training him. He was 80 years old. Some of you guys, y'all are just getting started. If you're Moses, like, you hadn't even got going good yet. That Moses was hid out there in the desert. Why? To deliver God's people. God had to train him. It took God 80 years to get this guy to the point where he was ready for that kind of service. Think about David, who's hiding in the mountains from Saul. Saul wants to take his life. David is running around the mountains, hiding from Saul. Several times it got close, and then all of a sudden the messenger would come in. Saul were under attack. And right when Saul was going to get him, he had to leave because God was hiding David, his servant, his man, from the enemy. Think of Paul, a New Testament character in Arabia. You know, the Jews wanted to kill Paul because he was getting the gospel to some people, and growing up as a Pharisee, he knew all their secrets, he knew all their dirty tricks, and he knew how to confront that. They hated it. They wanted to take Paul's life. And Paul was let down in a basket, and he was hid in Arabia. And then he went to the Gentiles up there. And what we have today, it's just amazing from the scriptures. Even a point of Paul's life, God took him and put him in prison. You realize if he hadn't put Paul in prison, we wouldn't have half the letters that we have in the New Testament church. We'd be like, well, we got the Gospels and that's it. God said, God knew that we would need a little bit more. So he took Paul, hid him in a jail cell so that he'd have to write. Well, today we have something greater because God hid him for a little bit. Now he was protected while he was in there. I mean, he had the Roman army protecting him from those scoundrels. You ever think about that? Another one, Jeremiah. A lot of people don't think about Jeremiah, but when he had been telling Israel or Judah, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, here's the warning. You know, and Jeremiah gave this warning. You would listen. Here, get out of here. Destruction's coming. God warned him. He said, go hide yourself in somewhere else, because when Nebuchadnezzar gets here, everyone in the city is going to be killed. Except for one person, Jeremiah. You know where he was at when Nebuchadnezzar got there? He was in prison. He was in the dungeon. And they asked Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, why are you here? Why are you down there?" He said, "Because I told them you were coming." "Oh, really?" And they let Jeremiah choose. "Well, Jeremiah, you can come back to Babylon and I'll take care of you, or you can stay here with a remnant of the people." Jeremiah said, "I'm going to stay with the remnant of my people." And God helped, and Jeremiah was used to pastor those people when they needed somebody the most. Can you imagine? They lost everything. The kingdom's gone. Their houses, their property have been destroyed. And Jeremiah is there to give them God's word during that time. There was no one else who could do that job but Jeremiah. God hid him in the dungeon. Think about Jesus. God hid Jesus in Egypt, didn't he? Away from Herod. Herod wanted to destroy him, wanted to kill him. And God came to Joseph in a dream, "Get my son out of here. The enemy's coming." See, there's another example of God warning his people, "Take him to Egypt." And the prophecy tells us, "I will bring my son out of Egypt," according to the scriptures. And God hid Jesus in Egypt for a time to protect him from the enemy. Think about Peter. I like this story because Peter's in jail and the people are praying, and the scripture says that the angel shows up, has to whack Peter pretty hard to wake him up. And he's just kind of out of it, like, "What is going on?" I see that sometimes in my house when I'm trying to get kids going. And he starts leading Peter through, and there's guards standing here and there, and Peter's just walking right past them. They look like they're looking at him, and he's just still walking. Gets to a gate. The gate opens up by itself. Peter walks through, and then all of a sudden the angel leaves, and Peter looks around like, "I thought I was dreaming." He was invisible to all those guards. They couldn't see him. Can you imagine that? God gave Peter an invisibility cloak and got him out of prison. God hid him at that time from their eyes, shielded the people's eyes from being able to see him. And there's numerous other examples. That's just a few. Because I want to end with this. It may not be your plan to hide, but it probably is God's. If he's protecting you, if he's hiding you, He's got something for you. It's not just for your own convenience. It's not so that you can live the life of luxury and in lust. But he's got something prepared for you. And he's taking care of you for a reason. Yeah, these guys, David would tell you, "I'd never want to go through that again." Joseph would tell you, "I hated what I was going through." Jesus would tell you, "I didn't like living in Egypt either." Jeremiah, he's like, "I'm in this mire. This is where people get leprosy down here. I hated it. It's mushy, it's nasty, it smells like mold." But he would tell you, God meant it for a purpose and for a reason. It will not be your plan to hide, it's God's. Your escape from death probably isn't the main reason for God hiding you. But through you, others may live and learn the glory of God. You see, we get so wrapped up in this life that we forget that we're here to serve the Lord, that we're here to make the knowledge of Jesus Christ known to those who don't know it. And if you can have that fear of the Lord like Obadiah did, hey, God can use you. God can use you. You know, when I start trying to plan my life, God rearranges it. He taught me to be flexible because I can't plan it very well. If he gives me the plan, I'll take it. But I've learned that I can't really plan my life on my own. I need to be flexible for him. Proverbs 16:9 will say it like this: "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Yeah, I may have a plan for my life, but I need to be flexible with it and let God direct my steps. I had no idea I'd ever come to Bethany. No idea. I really didn't know I would come to Jonesboro. I really didn't know I would come back to Jonesboro. Wasn't really my plan, but it was God's. And he directed a whole lot of things. And what I've learned is that when I see God putting that plan together, moving those pieces, what I need to do is I need to look to see where God's working and just follow Him. Life is so much easier that way. Because if I'm not following Him, I'm fighting against Him. And I don't want to be somebody who's fighting against Him. I want to be somebody that's in the tailwind of Him. You know, it's kind of like getting behind an 18-wheeler. You ever done that with an automobile? It's like you can take your foot off the gas. It's like the wind just sucks you. You don't have to worry about Him stopping quick. He'll let you know what's going on. But he just wants you to follow suit just like that. Matthew 6 and verse 33 tells us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I've given you several examples tonight of those that sought God first with their life. And God added all those things unto them. Now, did it look like it at first? No. If you're like, Jeremiah, man, your life is a train wreck. What is going on? I'm doing what God tells me to do. But Jeremiah, they keep throwing you in prison. Nobody's listening to you. Why don't you just be quiet? God has given me a message and I must present it. And then we see Jeremiah, after everybody else has been killed and destroyed and Jerusalem is laid waste, there's one man standing, the one who stood for God. See, that's who God wants us to be. He wants us to make sure that we're Jeremiah's, that we're Joseph's and Moses's and David's and Paul's and Peter's. He wants us to be like Jesus and to listen to God. And if He hides us, it's for a reason. So that we can do something greater for God at the end. Be waiting for His orders and be ready to obey whenever that command comes. With that, let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank You for this passage, for this story out of the Scripture that reminds us that you can take care of Your people. When things look like they're their worst, we know that You take Your people and You hide some of them. You protect them. And that You do that for a reason. And that you're looking for those who fear You greatly, like Obadiah did, who understand that You're the Almighty, and that you've got a plan in place, and that we just need to follow it. We might not like some of the portions of it. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to seek Your face. Help us to acknowledge what You're doing in our life. Guide us according to Your will, even when I don't understand it, Lord. Help me to acknowledge You in all my ways and allow You to direct my paths. And I thank You, Lord, for these scriptures and this story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I don't really have a song picked out tonight. I hadn't thought about it. Anybody have one that they want us to do? Noah does. Oh, he's thinking about it. I got one. It just came to me. You may open up your Bibles if you need to, but we're going to do the books of the Bible. It's been a while since we've done that. I don't know what page it's on. Mine doesn't have a page number where that's at. To the Bible.